The Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. You know, Cincinnati is known as a big branding town. Lots of marketing going on here with Procter & Gamble and General Electric and so many other big companies. There's a new book out that tells you how neuroscience can help marketers build memorable brands. The book is called Brand Seduction, written by Daryl Weber, who's joining me on the phone now. Daryl, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
I've been involved in marketing and know many people in marketing here in the city, but this book is something different when it comes to marketing because you reveal the hidden side of what brands can and can't do. Talk about, to begin with, what a brand actually is, because some people will say, well, it's just a phrase like, do it on Nike, or it's the iconic red can with Coke on the side, but it's more than that.
Yes, I think it's exactly right. It's definitely more than that. You know, I've heard a lot of definitions of what a brand is. I've worked alongside many different marketers, some of the best, and everyone does seem to have a different perspective on what a brand really is. And then, you know, a lot of lay people think it's just the logo, right, or the look and feel of a brand, the kind of design of it. But really, it does go much deeper than that. And so my personal definition of a brand is the collection of associations in consumers' minds. And that's really what I explain in the book. And those associations can be both conscious and unconscious. So the things you know and can talk about a brand, so the product itself, the price, the packaging, maybe the experience you had with it, where you've seen it, even the ads, all that is really conscious associations you have with the brand. But then what I find is most interesting, and this is, like you said, the hidden side that most people don't talk about or aren't really tapping into, is that unconscious side. So there's really this whole sea of unconscious emotions connected to every brand. Like you mentioned with Coca-Cola or Nike, those brands have a really rich collection of associations, just having seen them through the years. So what that swoosh means, you know, having seen it on Michael Jordan and all these professional athletes throughout the years and decades, and all that just adds up to a feeling and a sense that you have towards that brand. And that's really what I was interested in and wanted to dive into with the book.
Well, many marketers will say, well, we need to get attention. I mean, I've talked to many marketing people. It's all about what kind of big event we can have, what kind of splash we can make. But you point out in Brand Seduction that a lot of brand, it does happen unconsciously, that it's not necessarily attention that you should be looking for.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a real myth out there, a misconception that you need to capture someone's conscious attention for an ad to work. I think the mind works at these many different levels, and we're starting to understand how sort of perception and attention and memory all work at an unconscious level. So our brains are doing things constantly that we don't realize, right? So just how we perceive the world and take it in and pay attention to things. It's not just what you're consciously paying attention to. Sort of a classic example of that is the cocktail party effect, where if you're having a conversation with someone at a party or a loud bar or something, feasibly, you think you're only paying attention to what they're saying, but if you hear your name from across the room, suddenly that word, your name, will pop out over the din, over everything else, and you'll pay attention to that. And it almost sounded like it was louder, but of course, you know, it wasn't. Maybe someone just happened to mention your name or something, and you'll turn, your attention will be brought to that person who said it or that direction. And that just shows that your mind was actually processing so much else that was going on while you were just paying attention to that conversation in front of you. And it said, hey, there's something interesting over there, you should pay attention to it. But it actually had processed all the other words, otherwise it wouldn't know that that was your name. So that's just one example, but really, that shows that attention is working in these many different layers and ways. And just being exposed to, say, a logo on someone's shirt or walking by and seeing something in a store, all those little impressions you're having of a brand are influencing how you then feel about that brand, whether you realize it or not. So, yeah, it's a lot more nuanced and deep, I think, than we tend to realize. And it's not just that sort of conscious, rational, you know, communication and argument that most marketers try to make and put in front of people.
I love it. I must say you've scared me a couple of times, Daryl, at looking at how the brain works. And you point out, and this is a quote from one of the sidebars in the book, what we perceive is not a direct reflection of reality. The brain interprets incoming signals based on expectations and makes its best guess at reality. So reality is not really hard reality.
That's right. Yeah, our brain is really constructing the reality that we see around us. It's you know, we think, oh, we're seeing the world as it is out there and that it's all exactly right and true. But, you know, optical illusions play on this and they show you how your brain is making assumptions. And you often can't even override those assumptions, even when you know that they're wrong. So, reality is something our brain's making up all the time based on what we expect to see, what we've seen in the past. You know, it's making all these inferences. And that's really, most of the time, an evolutionary advantage. It was much easier to process that way without having to sort of reconstruct everything from zero every time. It uses the expectations, and it's a great sort of energy-saving efficiency method of the brain. But it can be sort of tricked and exploited, and that's what illusions do, and optical illusions, and you know, magicians are great at exposing that too. But yeah, it's just so the brain doesn't work quite as it might seem on the surface.
Daryl Weber, he's the author of Brand Seduction, How Neuroscience Can Help Marketers Build Memorable Brands. Information about the book on our website, wvxu.org. And this book really is, as part two says, a new model for brands. You're looking at the way the brain perceives the reality around us to build a brand that touches on all the senses and takes advantage of what you're not, you know, aware of that's happening in your mind.
That's right, yeah. So I think many marketers that I've worked with and sort of entrepreneurs and small business owners, when they think of their brand, they tend to think of the conscious side of it, you know, that sort of messaging, what they're rationally going to say, the features and benefits, those kinds of things. And I think they're missing this huge opportunity and this really the potential of brands and how humans really relate to brands is this whole unconscious side of it. So what I've tried to do in that second half of the book is build a model for how we can actually work with and develop brands thinking of it from that unconscious side. It's a bit tricky, right, because it's unconscious and intangible and nebulous by nature. But there are ways and tricks and sort of techniques we can get at to probe the unconscious and understand how consumers are relating to our brands unconsciously, and then how we can sort of strategically build our brands once we have that information and where we want it to go in the future. So yeah, I was just trying to give sort of another tool in the toolkit of marketers. You know, marketers have a lot of great tools out there, most of which are focused on the conscious side. But I hope this can be another way of looking at brands.
And this isn't subliminal advertising. You point out in Brand Seduction that, you know, that the study we all hear about subliminal advertising and flashing words on screens that we can't see during a movie, that was actually a hoax study, wasn't a true study. But that kind of subliminal take on things is what you're trying to exploit here in Brand Seduction, right? Without being overtly subliminal.
That's right, yeah. So the common perception of subliminal advertising is sort of hidden phrases or backwards words or things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Although I would say, although that study was a hoax, there is some truth to it. You know, priming is an example of where you can flash images usually too quickly to be perceived consciously, but they will then actually affect people's behavior and judgments and preferences. So there is some truth to that. It could work, and there are actually regulations in place to prevent it from happening. But what I'm talking about is almost that all advertising works at a subliminal level. So in a way, you could think that every advertisement is subliminal or is working subliminally. You know, we tend to pay attention to that conscious message, especially if you're a marketer spending a lot of money on this advertisement or communications. Of course, you're going to overanalyze it and think about it. And maybe you'll have some focus groups where you ask people about it and they'll pay close attention. But really, most of the time we go through our lives and days, we just let ads kind of wash over us, or we ignore them, or we're half paying attention to them while we're doing something else or on our phones. And that's actually where I think it's interesting, because that's the vast majority of how we receive branding messages and advertising. And the research has been showing for decades now that we can actually take in some of that information, process it, our brains will remember it, and it will affect our decision-making and preferences in the future for these brands. So I think marketers have been overly focused on that conscious side of it and trying to get that conscious message across and then asking consumers their conscious reactions to them, when really I think it's the vast majority of the times it's that unconscious side that's really playing the important role.
The book is Brand Seduction, How Neuroscience Can Help Marketers Build Memorable Brands, written by Daryl Weber, who I'm speaking with here on the Book Club at 91.7. And that's part of that is perception. You talk about only using a couple of senses and the usual marketing and branding, but for the brand fantasy, this new model that you are presenting in Brand Seduction, it's all about looking at all the senses, because really our brains associate and make memories out of many disparate connections within our brain.
That's exactly right, yeah. So any experience you have with a brand, so Like I said, you see it somewhere, sure, but, you know, you walk by a Subway restaurant and you get that smell that they so cleverly pump out, you know, the fresh baked bread. But even just beyond the five senses, it's really, yeah, all these little things and where you see something, who you see it with, the sort of the idea of meta communication, which is not just what's consciously being said, but all these other elements of the communication. So how it's said, how, lighting and actors and the look on their faces or the model's look or the pose, you know, all these little things that maybe get a second, you know, a second thought in marketers' minds, they're actually adding up to those associations and adding different perceptions and moods and imagery that's then going to stay in your mind and your unconscious connected with that brand. So it is about like connecting all of those different associations and making sure they add up to one kind of cohesive whole, that they're all telling one story about what your brand means and feels like to consumers.
So you talk about all these associations, and it is using all those senses, and it's interesting how the mind can fill in the blanks. You use the example of what do cows drink, and of course, immediately, if you don't think about it long, you're thinking milk, but it's that type of association where you can use this brand fantasy to build your brand.
Yeah, so I love that example because it does show just how our minds work and take in and think about concepts in general. So the idea of cows will have a network of associations in our minds. So you think of a cow and immediately these other associations are primed or sort of more activated in your mind. So things like milk and dairy and farms and maybe horses and all these things related to it. So you say milk, or you say cows, milk gets activated. And you say drink, milk is a drink. It's also activated. So it's very hard for a lot of people to not think milk when you say, what do cows drink? And unless you're talking about a baby cow, of course, cows drink water, right? Not milk. So, yeah, and the same is true of brands, right? If any brand comes to mind, say, I don't know, Harley Davidson, you know, there's immediately a bunch of associations surrounding that brand that will be more activated. And I just haven't seen marketers really think about brands in that way, and I think that's where the real opportunity is here, to think strategically about what are those sort of underlying associations with my brand, because that's really the feeling someone's going to have with your brand, and that's how consumers end up deciding, right, if they feel positively towards it or not. And that feeling is built up of all those little associations, and that's what I'm calling the brand fantasy. It's really this collection of associations, and it's, you know, a bit messier than I think we're used to working in business or in marketing, or, you know, if you go to get an MBA from business school, they want you to think sort of literally and, you know, have things in very clear boxes and be able to like check things off on a list. And I'm asking people to embrace the sort of messy side of this, that, yeah, there are a lot of associations. They are very abstract, but I think they're super valuable for what makes a brand attractive and relevant and engaging to people.
Well, you start out in the preface of the book, first line, for too many marketers, science is a four-letter word. And I'm curious, Daryl, what kind of pushback that you've been getting from brand seduction amongst the crowds?
Yeah, well, I mean, even the word neuroscience, which is in my subtitle, is definitely scary, right? That's a scary word. People are like, what are you, you know, you're talking about neuroscience, this is marketing. It definitely puts people off. And I've tried to get past that. And that was actually one of the goals of writing this book to begin with, was there's all this science and research that's existed. You know, the past decades, we've made great strides in understanding how the brain works. But it just wasn't getting over to these marketers, creatives especially, that could use it. I just felt there was this huge gap between the two. And so I wanted to write it in a way that was really easily digested and really what I found fascinating about the brain. I mean, the brain's an amazing organ. It does these amazing things. And having this deeper understanding of it, I mean, to me, it's just amazing and fascinating. And I wanted to share that sort of fascination with the marketers, but then show them how they can actually apply it and use it. So I do get that initial pushback of, oh, neuroscience, I don't want to touch that. That's too far. But there's another sort of broader theme, and that's what I'm hinting at there when I say science is a four-letter word, that marketers tend to think of advertising, communications, design as an art, right? They're making something beautiful. They want to tap into culture. They want to touch people. And that's all true, and great marketing can do that for sure. But in the end of the day, we are trying to change people's behaviors, change their minds about things, convince them of something, and, you know, in the end, get them to buy something. And that, you know, there is a lot of science behind that, and I think it would just benefit them all. It behooves us to probe into it at least a bit and to have a general understanding of how marketing is actually working in the mind, not how we assume it's going to work or how we think it works or even how it seems to work on us, because, you know, our conscious perception of how it works in ourselves is not necessarily the whole story. That's a lot of what I say in the book, is that it's actually a misleading story of our, you know, our conscious perception and how our mind seems to work to us. is not really correct. So getting, you know, that deeper image of it, I think can only help marketers be smarter marketers.
You sure opened my eyes and scared me a number of times too, Daryl, but love the book and very thought-provoking. Thank you for bringing it to light.
Thank you so much for the kind words, and then great to be here.
Daryl Weber, the book is Brand Seduction, How Neuroscience Can Help Marketers Build Memorable Brands. I think you'd learn a lot even if you're not a marketer by reading this book. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.